This is Building Bridges, your community and labor report in exile with Mimi Rosenberg and Ken Nash. We recently spoke at Solidarity Forever, an evening for international labor unity, a benefit for New York City Union's September 11th relief funds, which was a fundraising concert discussion held in conjunction with the ICFTU's, that's the International Confederation of Free Trade Unions, Global Union Days of Action, protesting the World Trade Organization meeting in Qatar. The evening was sponsored by the People's Weekly World newspaper and hosted by John Pietero. Performance included radical poet-journalist Amita Baraka, punk-folk musician Kirk Kelly, the South Indian fusion group Avar Mitra, and labor activist-musician himself, John Pietero. Speakers included your host from Building Bridges, and in addition, Jeff Olchensky and Susan Morris from New York City Labor Against the War, and Esteban Nimbard from the Black Radical Congress. And now to Solidarity Forever, an evening for international labor unity.
Evening, ladies and gentlemen, brothers and sisters. Let me just welcome you all on to Solidarity Forever, or at least Solidarity for some of us. My name is John Pietero. I'm the organizer of this event. This event is being held in accordance with the International Federation of Free Trade Unions, Global Unions Day of Action. This day is also a historic date, not only for the events occurring all over the world, even as we speak, but this happens to be the historic same date as Kristallnacht. Some of you may be aware of the Night of Broken Glass that sort of started World War II in Europe. So this is a day that hopefully will not live in infamy, but will just live. I'd like to introduce our very first performer, Mr. Kirk Kelly, who is a noted punk folk performer, also a business agent with Local 802, American Federation of Musicians. All right, so let me waste no further time and please welcome Kirk Kelly.
Thank you, New York.
There are poets in hiding, is there? Riot in the park. The mayor is trying to keep us in the dark. And the tourists come a-looking for a place to park in your new city, in your new city. Call it democracy, you. Call it the law and wave our key values, you. Don't work anymore. For the safety of nostalgia, you would sacrifice the poor of your new city, of your new city. A long, hot summer and temperatures rise when your form of progress has too high a price. Someday you'll have to face the ones whose homes are now the site of your new city, of your new city. In the winds of discontent, revolution calls. The mode of music changes. You're headed for a fall. For justice and compassion are not found within the walls of your new city, of your new city. I am a Roman soldier marching off to go home. I've trampled through Jerusalem, I'll watch Athens fall. There is no time to wonder why, when you hear those trumpets call, the glory of the empire, I risk my life and a home. So if I don't come marching home, I'm lying dead in go home. I'm in the foreign legion, and I fight in foreign lands. Beneath the shadow of the Sphinx, we conquered foreign sands. For me, there is no right or wrong, I'm following commands. So if you come to look for me, I hope you'll understand. When you finally let my bones bleach in the far Egyptian sand. Well, I am a British soldier marching through the rain. They picked the typhoon season to launch a damn campaign. There'll be a medal on my chest when it ship me home again, and a letter from Lord Mountbatten attempting to explain why it was I had to die in a bloody Burma rain. I am a Yankee soldier beneath the sunny sky. It was early on a Sunday, I saw the truck roll by. And then I heard a mighty blast, I heard my comrades cry. They sent us to this airport, but no one knows just why. We're sitting here in Lebanon, waiting for to die. I am a Roman soldier marching off to Gaza.
Okay, this song is relatively new. I've recently revised it.
I am on American patrol. I am searching for survivors of a world out of control. Do any others still lie waiting for someone to take them home? I am on American patrol. I'm reaching out a hand for someone to take hold. And I listen for a voice. And I listen for a breath of hope. I am following a vision of another day, hard won in the throes of revolution, with the blood of many sons. And I am praying in the darkness, I am not the only one to remember. I'm on American patrol. I am flying through the night towards an enemy untold. In a time of such uncertainty and danger, never before known. I am on American patrol, and the day is growing dim, and the wind is blowing cold. Still, I must keep searching and dreaming of going home. A war is waged on the workers of this land. Each day I fight a battle to remember who I am, but I swear I'd sooner die where I stand than surrender. I am on American patrol, amidst the devastation, the nation finds its soul. With a solemn, silent promise, carry our heroes home. I am on American patrol, I am searching for survivors of a world out of control. And I wonder, does anyone still wait for me to come home? To America.
This is called Heroes of Tomorrow. This here is a song for you, GM Devs. A campaign wish of courage when others might have fled. And from his lonely prison cell came what had to be said. So this here is a song for Eugene Delves. Here's another song for Joe Hill. His name sent shivers up the spines of scabs and bosses still. He stood up for the workers, so the bosses had him killed. So tonight I sing a song, Joe Hill. Bill Oakes sang for you and me, for those treated unjustly, or fighting to be free. But a generation's pain and anger crushed him by the sea. Phil Oakes sang for you and me. Thank you.
who'll be the heroes of tomorrow? Oh, who will be the ones to stand and fight today? So much still needs to be done. There's still so much to say. When it seems that all the world's gone mad, someone must show the way. But the price of doing what is right is one not all can pay. Who will be the hero? Who of you will stand up? Who of us will speak out? Who will be the heroes? Who will be the heroes? Who will be the heroes of today? Thank you very much.
Thanks very much, Kirk Kelly, ladies and gentlemen. So let me please bring up representatives from New York City Labor Against the War, Jeff Olshansky and Susan Morris.
New York City Labor Against the War is a coalition of different union members and union workers throughout the city. We've essentially written a statement that we're trying to pass out. We want to get as many signatures as we can, and we're trying to get the message out. We have, we're planning programs at this time. Our next meeting is the 27th at 6:30 at 568 Broadway. It's the ALAA union meeting. We are currently planning a debate where we're going to try to bring in people who are promoting the war versus our organization, which is obviously trying to promote peaceful action as a reaction to the World Trade Center disaster. And after that, that's going to be our primary first meeting session. And then after that, we're going to be going out into communities. We want to try to get meetings at churches and community buildings and just get the word out to essentially workers of the city about the real impact that this war is going to have on them. I'm going to read the statement, and then this is basically our statement that was written by really a very large collection of union people. I think we have over 500 now at this writing, and we also are affiliated with union workers in England, San Francisco, and Washington, D.C. I don't know if you recently, hopefully, saw George Bush whining about, if you're not with us, you're against us, bitching about the people in England who are marching on the streets. One of the primary organizers of that March was here at our organization meeting a couple of weeks ago, and we're trying to raise funds to send most likely Michael Letwin over there for their next march. Here's the statement. September 11th has brought indescribable suffering to New York City's working people. We have lost friends, family members, and coworkers of all colors, nationalities, and religions. 1,000 of them were union members. An estimated 100,000 New Yorkers will lose their job because of this incident. We condemn this crime against humanity, and we mourn those who perish. We're proud of the rescuers, and we're proud of the outpouring of labor support for victims' families. We want justice for the dead, and we also want safety for the living. George Bush's war is not the answer. War will inevitably harm countless innocent civilians, strengthen American alliances with brutal dictatorships, and will only serve to deepen global poverty. War will also take a heavy toll on us. For Americans in uniform, the overwhelming number of whom are workers and people of color, it will be another Vietnam. It will generate further terror in this country against Arabs, Muslims, South Asians, people of color, and immigrants, and erode our civil liberties. It will redirect billions to the military and corporate executives while draining such essential domestic programs as education, health care, and the Social Security Trust. In New York City and elsewhere, the war will be a pretext for imposing austerity on labor and poor people under the guise of national unity. War will play into the hands of religious fanatics from Osama bin Laden to Jerry Falwell and provoke further terrorism in major urban centers like New York. Therefore, the undersigned New York City Metro Area trade unionists believe a just and effect response to September 11th demands no war. It's wrong to punish any nation or people for the crimes of individuals. Peace requires global social and economic justice. Justice, not vengeance, an independent international tribunal to impartially investigate, apprehend, and try those responsible for the September 11th attack. Opposition to racism and defense of civil liberties. Stop terror, racial profiling, and legal restrictions against people of color and immigrants, and defend democratic rights. Aid for the needy, not the greedy. Government aid for victims, families, and displaced workers, not the wealthy. As Mimi said earlier, that $15 billion went to the stockholders. They might as well have written the check out to Wall Street. I have a number of friends who were laid off by American Airlines. They're not getting any. I'm sorry, that's not part of the statement. I had to digress there.
You might add it later.
Okay. And no labor austerity. The cost of September 11th must not be borne by working and poor New Yorkers. No surrender of workers' living standards, programs, or other rights. If you are union members or know people who are, we'd appreciate signatures. Feel free to take a few extra copies, bring them to your places of work, your schools, wherever. And we are trying to collect signatures for this statement.
You know, I think there are kind of four different things that you can do to get involved in this. And before that, though, I mean, I think, you know, the statement and the fact that now I think it's actually over 600 people at this point have signed on to it, you know, really flies in the face of, you know, the idea that labor is behind this war. And it's true that, as someone said before, unfortunately, some of our labor leaders have come out in support of it, but there are a lot of people that don't agree with it. And I should also say that 1199, which is the union that I'm a part of, as well as John, our executive committee has stated that, you know, this crime should not be used as an excuse to go to war against any nation. And I think maybe we need to do a little more to push it to make that statement a little more out there right now. As Susan mentioned, there is going to be a forum. It's a little tentative right now, but you'll hear about it more in a few weeks, and it's going to touch on three different topics. One, the direct aftermath of what people here in New York City are feeling and health and safety concerns related to Ground Zero and the anthrax scares. Two, the economic impact on workers here in the United States. And three, on foreign policy. And it's important not only to have folks who are on the left and who are firmly against this war at that event, but to have people who are questioning or unsure or scared. And the fourth thing is you can come to our next meeting. It's Tuesday, November 27th at 6:30. It's at the Association of Legal Aid Attorneys. And if you don't know where that is, it's at 568 Broadway on the 7th floor. And that's just south of Houston. And thanks again to John and the organizers of this event for allowing us this opportunity and for the Communist Party for having us here tonight. Thanks.
All right. I wanted to bring out our poet of the evening. Amina Baraka is a very well-respected radical poet and journalist. She's going to come out here and share not only some of her poetics, but her vocalese as well. So please welcome Amina Baraka.
I'm really proud to be a part of this program because, you know, I wanted to do something, you know, to help the workers and the innocent people that were killed in the World Trade Center. And I tried to give blood, but I'm anemic, so they wouldn't take it. So this is my blood I'm giving. This is the only thing I can do. I shall do that. I want to begin with a song by Stevie Wonder and go into some poems I wrote called I Got a Right to Sing the Blues series. And one of them is around the Charleston Five, which I had written during the course of the struggle. No New Year's Day to celebrate. No chocolate-covered candy hearts to give away, no first of spring, no song to sing. In fact, here's just another ordinary day. No April, no flowers bloom, no wedding Saturdays within the month of June. But what it is something true, made up of these three words I must say to you. I just came to say I love you. I just came to say how much I care. I just came to say I love you. And I mean it from the bottom of my heart for the survivors. Thank you. Thank you, John. This is the piece I wrote for the Charleston Five. I got a right to sing the blues. I got a right to feel low down. I got a right to fight capitalism. 'Cause this old racist state keeps gunning, dragging my people down. I got a right, I got a right to sing the blues. Kenneth Jefferson, 42. Elijah Ford Jr., 40. Peter Washington Jr., 48. Rick Simmons, 38. John Egerton, 23. Blues for the Five. Tell everybody, sing the blues. Let's spread the news. The Charleston Five Blue, locked down for being on a picket line, paying union dues. Spread the news. Sing the Charleston Five Blues. From sun up to moon down, sing the Charleston Five Blues. Brothers under house arrest for peaceful protest. Four black, one white, longshoremen fighting the right for union wages, keep it international, solidarity tight. Spread the news, let's sing the Charleston Five Blues. Charles Condon, state attorney, hustler, union buster, dressed in Confederate blue, whistling Dixie, union traitor. Spread the news, let's sing the Charleston Five Blues. Four black, one white, facing trial, hard time, but no crime. Sing a blues in every hue. South Carolina State, messing with First Amendment, meddling with constitutional rights. We got to spread the news and sing the Charleston Five Blues. Tell everybody, pass the word. Let's sing a working class anti-racist blues. Let's sing a get-together blues, one that will unite and support blues. A free the Charleston Five Blues. Let's sing a unionizing blues. I got a right to sing the blues. I got a right to feel low down. I got a right to fight capitalism. 'Cause this old racist state keeps gunning my people down. I got a right. I'm looking for the lyrics to sing a black worker's blues. Looking for a black worker metaphor. Stolen energy used to heat up mansions. Like muscle to lift crates. Dig up ditches. Run pipes. Foundations for everybody but themselves. Like blues running down a woman's neck after her son has been shot down in the street. Like iron will to keep struggling when your welfare check won't come and nobody will hire you and nothing is left but to make do. And how do you make do? I need a metaphor for black workers. Made of coal, oil, steel, diamonds, gold, platinum, uranium. Made of grains and seeds. Made of muscle. Made of sugarcane and watermelons. Made of bone, flesh, blood, and emotion. Give me a black people metaphor. One that cakewalks. Blues doing the Lindy Hop. Zoot suit wearing and cakewalking metaphors. That 300 years of slavery and genocide couldn't wipe out. I'm looking for a metaphor for black people, sometimes called toilers, the early black peasants, the urban dwellers, the oppressed. I need a metaphor about black people, 'cause you see, I wanna sing me a freedom song. I'm tired of singing the blues. I got a right to sing the blues. I got a right to feel low down. I want to write blues lines about workers. Dying of black lung, brown lung, overworked, underpaid, blown up, burned up, fingers cut off, wrecked, and wretched lives in general. I want to sing songs that weep the pains and horrors of monopoly capitalism. Words that paint imperialism as the world's enemy, because it is. I want to write praise words about workers that led the strike, the ones that spoke out, the ones that demonstrated against the death penalty, the ones fighting racism and anti-Semitism, the ones that support Palestinian liberation, the ones who passed out the leaflets to free the Caribbean and protect Cuba, the workers that support the Irish and African revolution, the ones that led the peace movement, the ones that stood up for working class women. I want to celebrate all of them in a lyrical way, in a way they will like. Yeah, I want to be a people's poet. I want to write fire lines that will catch on to the bourgeoisie's ass, burn the covers off their lies, expose them as the first and real criminals. I want to write words that will do us some good, that will unite the whole working class, something that will do good for black people and all people and everybody and everyone that is oppressed. I want to be a poet of the revolution and use my words to accompany the struggle against monopoly capitalism, because that's the only way I can be a people's poet and do some real good. 'Cause I got a right to sing the blues. I got a right to feel low down. I got a right to fight capitalism. 'Cause this old racist state keeps gunning, dragging my people down. I got a right, I got a right to sing the blues. For the survivors of September the 11th, year 2001, the stench of human bones rise from the World Trade Center. Remains of African slaves sold on Wall Street. The spoils of capitalism is terror. Families around the globe grieve in fear. People weep for peace, locked in unity against world war. Tears flow like rivers of blood, soaking the earth, veiling the ruins of workers. Children of the rainbow search for mothers, fathers, never to be found. Relatives deposits in the rubble of imperialism. Tyrants at home and abroad, fueled by greed and power. Innocence dies, seasons cry. We must fight to live. Fight for liberty to be, to see, from sea to sea. Fight to end all war. Fight for love of humanity. Fight for socialism. Fight for world peace. We must, because we got a right to sing the blues. Thank you. John Botero, thank you.
Lamine Baraka. The second half of our program, after these next two speakers, the second half of the program includes South Asian fusion music, which is very new to most people, myself included, that of the Avir Mitra Quartet. Also, coming up very soon. Also, we've got another speaker from the Black Radical Congress, and I'll be doing a last set in which I'll be asking for some extra vocal help. I'd like to now welcome some very special guests. I couldn't be more pleased than to bring on stage two people who've been exiled from WBAI. We New Yorkers on the left are very aware of the loss of WBAI in this last year at this point. So we've got the exiled labor reporters, not only Ken Nash, but Mimi Rosenberg, both of Building Bridges. Please welcome them both.
You want to know some good news? This is about the only good news I know for the last, I don't know how many years, and probably for the next year also. The charges against the Charleston Five, everybody know who the Charleston Five are? All right, they were dropped to misdemeanor charges, $100 fine.
They don't all know.
Okay, these were five Charleston dock workers who were put away on rioting charges about a year ago. They went under house arrest. And what broke the thing was not only the campaign led by the International Longshoremen's Workers and also the FL-CIO, but also the state attorney general on TV compared them to terrorists. And after that, he recluded himself from the case. Is that the right legal word? Oh, okay. And a new prosecuting attorney came up who was really not very interested in the case. And the campaign continued, and they are free right now. And they're going to have to pay $100 to the state of South Carolina. But, hey, maybe one of these days the South will get organized. Well, that's the good news. That is the good news. And the bad news on the labor front is John Sweeney, the head of the AFL-CIO, took no time at all in supporting the war once George Bush II started it. And I don't want to say, let's hear it for the AFL-CIO. I don't know what people would say at this point if I said that. This war, I mean, they're opening up a new front now, and the new front is the propaganda front, which is where we start to lead into WBAI. They hired this new firm that does PR work for Uncle Ben's Converted Rice. Well, that's going to go over very well when the refugees start starving in Afghanistan. And in this war, Pacifica Network that we had been associated with and hope to return to is on its knees to a large extent. So Mimi has been doing a lot more work than I do on the Pacifica front. Mimi, why don't you bring us up to date?
How many people know what BAI is? How many people listened to it? Maybe 50% of the audience. So I want to say something. For 51 years, we had a radio network that was not just there to cover the activities of the war abroad and the war at home, and the two always are synonymous with, of course, the U.S., and we'll get to that in a minute. But for 51 years, we had a voice of social activism and transformation. So you could listen to NYC. As a matter of fact, you could even listen to Ted Koppel. I did the other night, and I was rather surprised. He had some interesting stuff on. Even had some things about labor and people organizing in other parts of the country. But it's never about building a movement to resist right reaction, barbaric, grotesque, terrorist policies that emanate from our country, which stimulate misery around the world and for too many people at home as well. And for 51 years, we had a network that revealed that and became the mechanism for people to organize. Now, just to give you an idea of what's happened to it, and I think this speaks volumes. After 9-1-1, after the WTC, that should have been the weekend that we spoke most about what was happening and what we were going to do. How were we going to rev up to stop the jingoistic war machine that was immediately kicked into gear? And instead what we did is we said there was a time of quietude and we should play Bach's Brandenburg Concerto. Now this is the new WBAI. It's very important for those of you who don't know, and for those of you who do, that we have a massive responsibility ahead of us to try, as part of our anti-war efforts, to wrest back the only communication vehicle that we have that was non-print, that operated 21/7 for decades in the service of the left, of the progressive, of the revolutionary communities and peoples of this country, of this world. And so that's why BAI is important, and it must be wrested back from the elite core who manages it now, known as the Pacifica National Board, which is basically comprised of people from the Democratic Leadership Committee in Washington who have a stranglehold and are going to take away our precious communication organizing vehicle. Now, if we had WBAI, you could hear Democracy Now!, its war report. You could hear about the Charleston Five. You could hear about this meeting, small but impactful. You could hear about the demonstrations around the WTC and the IMF. You could hear the Pakistani Workers' Front talking to you about what's happening in Pakistan with workers organizing against terror. So we've got a responsibility as part of our war efforts to get it back. I want to say one other thing that really hit me hard today. I also happen to be, I'm a delegate for the Association of Legal Aid Attorneys, and that informs a lot of what I do. But several things happen. If you are arrested and the government has a reasonable suspicion, Ken, what would you think a reasonable suspicion would be?
Maybe some evidence?
No, that's not a reasonable suspicion. A reasonable suspicion is, let's make it up as we go along. You, with the green armband, must have been at a demonstration, right? Okay. You were busted in that demonstration, and I want you to know what's going to happen to you. The woman in blue next to you, she's your attorney. She's going to call you to find out what the charges are. And you know who's going to be listening? The government. Because they have a reasonable suspicion by virtue of the activity that you were arrested in, that you are doing something reprehensible that attacks the safety and security of this country. And you are just demonstrating against the International Monetary Fund or the World Bank or third world debt, you're in trouble. The government will take a fundamental principle, and it can now take anyone who is arrested, who it has a quote-unquote reasonable suspicion, and eavesdrop on them with virtually no standard as they speak to their attorney. It's almost unheard of in this country. Two, you got more problems. You're a student, and you're studying Arabic languages. Forget it. And you go to Smith College. elite Ivy League school. Guess who's looking at your records? Your institution turned your records over to the government. Oh, this isn't a hypothetical. It's happened. We have a country now where, as Ken said, we have George Bush II, King George.
Son of a Bush.
Son of a Bush, implementing. Look at this. We've got our own King George. A war at home. Hey, it's the economy, stupid. There's lots of ways of killing people. And what's happening is we are constricting civil rights and civil liberties. Well, we haven't stopped profiling people of color. We've just increased the network to include others. More ethnicity, more national groups, that's all. Well, if you had BAI, we could hear more about this. But we have to be extraordinarily vigilant. Because what that war means is that it's given the classic opportunity for George Bush I through his progeny to implement his terror agenda against people of color, immigrants, nationals, undocumented workers. He's implementing his agenda. They're reshaping the Justice Department to look like a war department. They're constricting and taking away civil liberties that we fought like hell for. And people are growing poorer. I know $15 billion. Who did that go to? Went to the airlines. Anybody know any unemployed airline workers who are back at their jobs? They bought airplanes with that. But they didn't increase the workforce. Who's getting the money? Where's it going? Well, I don't want to take up too much time, but I do want to say that
in the meantime and in between time, don't give any money to WBAI or Pacifica. And you can catch us and a lot of other BAI folk who are not now on WBAI on WBAI in Exile. And that's internet radio, www.wbix.org. We're on Tuesday nights at 9.
What we need to know is not on WBAI, so it's very important that we took the initiative as the station became perverse and perverted by its overseer, Utrecht Lead, national program director now, national destroyer and dismantler, and her cronies. But what you're not hearing is some of the things we spoke about tonight, but I want to make it very clear that we have, and I know you all know that, an enormous amount of work to do.
They're losing the PR war outside of the U.S., and in the U.S., we're hearing less and less of consequence, which is why a network like Pacifica is so important. This is qualitatively different than the wars we've had in the last 10 or 20 years. This is coming to be a new world war. He's not going to be satisfied with Afghanistan. We have domestic repercussions on this. This is a whole new deal, and it's not the kind of new deal we had in the 30s either. So let's fight against it, and let's fight for Pacifica.
And I don't know if some people know the chant here, but we like to say in terms of Pacifica, we say, whose station? Whose station? And what are we going to do about the war? We're going to stop the bombing when?
Now!
Dear sisters and brothers, thank you very much.
And remember, WBAI's Building Bridges in Exile is on Tuesdays at 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on WBAI in Exile, www.wbix.org. Use those computers for radio purposes also. Bye for now.
Thank you, Mimi Rosenberg, Ken Nash. And in the spirit of John, Paul, George, and Ringo, they're only going on to first names. It's Avir on guitar and vocals, Alan on vocals, Carl on electric guitar and vocals, and Sid on those hot tabla. So please give a warm welcome to Avir Mitra and the group.
They say, I never thought it would happen here. Bible bell feeling a knuckle of its own buckle. The chuckle of cynics suburban people have an urban sequel in the woods burning, and they are no longer laughing. News cameras explode, invading the scene as it develops. Don't get out and change the channel, because here comes another panel of experts using another tragedy to boost their career. Networks gather tapes for the movie of the week premiere. Death in a womb will scab up, but we need serious change to heal. Revolution is like a new skin. If the cards are stacked against you, it doesn't matter how many times a dealer deals. Let's get a new deck. Respect shouldn't have to be achieved through fear. You can't drive a car with one tire, no matter how good you steer. See, this government can't govern us. If we refuse to be used, they let the fuse when our human rights are abused. If we had control, the real criminals will be on the news. Don't misuse my shoes and walking in them. In order to analyze the present, take to the beginning when it was at a minimum, simmering ready to boil over onto wounded soil. They're raping roots. The ocean no longer cleanses concrete grass, now murdered and divided by the system's fences and the static and the reception fails. Special report going live. 3, 2, and what you see here is not a first, just quenching the thirst. No need to rehearse for birth, but exploding the laws, treading on our imperfections. Instead of accepting our faults, journalists scramble, most fumble assumptions, trying to come quick for deletion of the competition. Editing the footage, shots, splice, bits hitting home. One angle using witnesses' emotions as stepping stones. Guilty until proven innocent is where we've grown. Blood on the screen, stop pushing this death penalty. See, this country was built on murder, aimed at mystery. Look at the history. The misery is in the delivery of this punishment, cleaning up the chair with a needle, ready to put politicians in a fetal position. It's time for an abortion. Let's keep it legal. Another clinic bombed, church burned, immigrant killed. Border police release authority. Brutally, life is spilled. Time is ticking, picking me up, thus feeling like rust. In order to touch trust, we must rush the hush. 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 But it's not time to be quiet. Because it's those that are isolated, the untouchable, hesitating, debating alone in times that are political and critical, organizing through channels to the Lamb of Clan on saddles we will dismantle. For those who struggle independent, we light a candle to people's wearing socks and sandals. I encourage you, get out your lazy chair and be aware what's outside your bar windows. Climb the highest mountain, see from where the wind blows. Notice the consistency from where these laws grow. And I ask you, if you've already won the race, why are you running so fast? Cause it's the static and it's the reception that failed.
Thank you.
Wash over you. You can stand and be the mountain, feel the clouds come, rest on you. You could stand and be the mountain, let them come and grow on you. Letting go of what you hold true. But you don't look back, you don't look back. Laying a one-way, no-stop railroad track. You don't look back, no, you don't look back. Laying a one-way, no-stop railroad. Stand and be the mountain, stand and let them tunnel through. stand and be the mountain. Let them come and rest on you. You could stand and be the mountain. Feel the night come and fell up you. Could stand and be the mountain. And letting go of what you hold true. But you don't look back. No, you don't look back. Laying a one way, no stop railroad track. No, you don't look back. No, you don't look back. Laying a one way, no stop railroad track.
Yo, I wanna really thank everyone who's coming out today. We have people from Providence. We had such an experience getting here because our car broke down and we had to get a rent a car, a driver from New London, and people come up from New Jersey, stuck in the Lincoln Tunnel and everything. So much appreciation to everyone who's come out and to John for setting this up, for Fred Ho for helping me get this show, helping us get this, the sound guys for dealing with the fact that we're chronically late to everything that we do.
Check. Actually, where we're from in South Jersey, we're only like 20 minutes from Philadelphia. Not like that matters, but I don't know. The streets of Philadelphia.
Yeah.
Beautiful city.
Sky shallow rise, deep rooted innocence, the sense clouds, the eyes brush away the dead autumn, falling to sample lies against grass, victimized life, cries, dusty pages. Again, the flame dance, lazy windowsill, been blessed with chances. Spirits crippled and guided into 2 second glances, asking wrong questions, receiving wrong answers. Hair so uncompromising, no sympathy for the sleep lost shadows. Blend fading out. We have fought, now we have talked. Now it's a veer to surface, open moons burst off and flood my understanding with God's cold I caught. Yeah, this cold I caught. Keeping my hat on, my nose stuffed up, sniff, sniff, cough, cough. I caught this cold. Change, recycling itself, tackling the lint. A hand of what I felt is now on the shelf. I'm getting dusty like rust, following rain. I'm paying while the monsters run for itself. Breeze with seasons, teasing me with time passing. Asking everlasting questions like when will it end? Then be gentle, everyone here needs a break. Sentimental downtime, too much explaining. Set myself up, training my understanding. Only to
understood by you, and I don't want to be misunderstood. Cause my karma ran over your dogma. Coming to New York City feeling kinda shitty. I got this cold, but now I'm up in Winston Auditorium with my man and John, who set it up, so we just wet it up. My man, if you're a karma, instead, I got that bit, no more ad lib. Coming off freestyle off the child when I was like 12 years old. I stand bold and cold in the old age, New York City, and it's time to just let me. That kind of in the sense, I'm presuming, assuming what I'm doing is something, refusing, resisting, existing in this world. Whether the socialist movement or you're just moving to the top of the level. I don't want to see white people as devils, but sometimes I do, cause I'm on the inside, seeing the contradictions, calling black people niggas, calling people gay that are faggots like maggots. I'm not down with it, calling immigrants spooks and making them leave the country. What is that all about? I'm on the inside, I'm breaking out of the structure, cause I don't want to be that motherfucker that's just stepping along contradiction, walking the same path, doing a rap in the last days. I want to feel amazing, I want to feel crazy. In fact, I am God. My name is Alan David Zai. Don't look to the sky for your answer. Look at yourself and see yourself in the mirror as a dancer. Dance to your own music, the beat that just drives into your conscience. You can't knock this, it's not in the spirit of flip-flops. It's in the spirits of socks and sandals as we sit in. And we're giving high five to preachers and vandals. We can sit up here and be dogmatic, but I want a conversation, I want dialogue. I want to see you and see myself, and I want to see that mirror getting clearer. I don't want to be inferior. I want to be able to walk the streets and not be scared. I want to be able to walk the streets and not be aware of my surroundings. I want to stand on ground full of this foundation that's rising me up and just rising me up. Whether my cup is half full or half empty, I want to be able to look in your eyes and see a friend till the end. Cause it's bigger than a book, it's bigger than a Bible, it's bigger than a disciple, false prophets. I want to knock it. It doesn't stand in religion, it doesn't stand in communism. It's bigger, it comes down to people. Down to people, yeah. Whether your background, whether your sound, whether it's your time to get down, stand up, get up, whether you're fed up, it doesn't come down to just you. How do you overlap with your brother? How do you overlap with your sister? Magnify the situation, feel that vibration as it shakes you out of your soul, out of your closet, rising up and shaking the auditorium and finding something so fresh and so clean. It's time, I guess, we all just rage against the machine. Whether stand up for Mumia Abu-Jamal or my man Matthew Shepard out in the middle of America, West, and here I am going from north to south, east to west, feeling like I'm the best because I'm on that Tribe Called Quest. And I'm doing this for myself and doing this for you, the way you stood up so many in the masses. We break down to classes, and how can you rise up if you can't see from the bottom? Yeah, we in the shadow looking at the light, and we just moving forward, so you can't ignore us breaking down the door. You know what it's for, rising for the poor, rising for the poor, like the sweat coming out the pores, coming out the pores, and make me want to be the one. Light the match, make me want to be the one, set the bush on fire, let it burn, let it, let it, let it burn. Burn, let it burn, let it burn. Let the fire go out by itself. Let it burn, burn. Thanks.
This song that we're about to play is on a CD too, so if you would like it, you're welcome to have one. We're just trying to get them out. So whatever you got, like $5, $4, $3.
Yeah. That's actually a good price for a CD.
Yeah.
If you want to pay $15, go for it. But you should contribute the rest of that money to people here. So.
Yeah, yeah. Money. So, yo, this song's called 7 Years. I want to really thank everyone for coming out. This is our last song.
Cause I'm in hiding in this place that's not a home. And
ask me why I can't call. Now you don't know who I am. You don't know. You know that I gotta live it out. It's hate and love and everything that's in between. From the way that you talk behind my back. Now you don't know who I am. You don't know.
Thank you very much. These guys are terrific, huh? Coming all the way in through transportation hell, and they somehow made it all the way to New York City. So that's Avir Mitra and his group. And I never really got the last names of these guys, but it was Alan on those very hip rap vocals, Carl electric guitar and very sultry vocals, and Sid on burning tabla. I got to tell you, I'm very impressed. Absolutely. Give it to them one more time. I'd like to try to book you guys right now for May Day. You know, I organize May Day concert in Union Square Park. So if you can do it for May the 1st, you're on. Really wonderful music. Okay, we only have a couple of things left for the rest of this evening, and so far the thing's been moving on pretty nicely. The person who's supposed to come and speak from the Service Employees International Union, Mr. Bob Kirkman, who is the New York campaign director, couldn't make it. So he said, John, you're an SEIU member. I'll allow you to represent the union. I want to thank him publicly for that. Since I'm here anyway, I may as well. But I want to make mention of the question that's on a lot of people's lips. Where does this money go when it's raised? Well, SEIU, Service Employees International, is one of the places that has a very legitimate place where the money goes. And their September 11th relief fund is a secured fund that is kept alongside their education fund. And their education fund is a pretty sacred thing. So the relief fund is a specific thing, and it's been established as a tax-exempt fund to raise money for members of our international and their families who were victims of the World Trade Center attack. It includes not only members of our own union lost during the rescue effort, but local 32BJ janitors and window washers who worked at the World Trade Center, PEF, that's Professional Employees Federation, office workers and their family members. So there is a one place for sure where we know where that money's going to. Also, the New York City Central Labor Council has a wonderful fund that they've established. And they offer, it's not very well known, but they offer counseling services to any of us who are struggling through this awful period of time. And that all is part of their fund as well. Not only do they manage the funds for other unions, but they have their own private thing as well. So that being the piece Bob Kirkman would have spoken about, I'd like to now bring on our last formal speaker from the Black Radical Congress, Esteban Nembhard, who YCL member and representative of the Black Radical Congress. So, Esteban Nembhard, come on down.
Thank you. I came here today representing the Black Radical Congress. It's a national organization that was formed in 1998 as an attempt to consolidate the black left, and it has thousands of members throughout the country. I'm sure that a few of you have seen the email list, and it's like a home to a lot of lively discussion and all that. So here in the city, I'm a member of the United New York chapter, and Manny Marable is the chair. I'm coming today representing them. I'm the local staff organizer for it. I'd say that the need for international solidarity has become very clear in the past months. You know, just with the day of 9/11, when thousands of workers died in this city right here, and people in the Pentagon. I mean, on that same day, tens of thousands of people died to hunger throughout the world. You know, our class allies, you know, our brothers and sisters. It's a huge thing. This cycle of violence, this profiteering. It's going on too long, and I think that in the wake of it, the people, that it really came out trying to end the cycle. It's been very clear. It was clear at the World Conference Against Racism, which saw governmental organizations, grassroots organizations come together throughout the world, demanding an end to the system of racism, demanding an end to the economic injustices that are going on throughout the world. It's been clear through the demonstrations and vigils for peace. Been going on throughout the world. I mean, you know, not only in this country, they've been going on all throughout the world. And it's been with very deep vision. And in some of these countries that have felt the wrath of U.S. imperialism, those same demonstrations against the war, they condemn the terrorist acts. And that takes a serious vision. And that vision comes from us. It comes from the working people who know what violence means. You know, who know that that's not going to solve any of our problems. What's going to solve our problems is the masses of people working together. And I think this formula here, this idea of international solidarity, it's a beautiful thing, and it goes along with that, and it needs to be more of it. Just in this country, basically the movement that we're just talking about, it's been under a serious attack, a real fierce attack. We see it with economics, as far as all the thousands of workers who've been laid off. We can see it as far as the different legislation that they're trying to pass, and some that they've already passed. I mean, I remember reading in the newspaper this party a few weeks ago. They were talking about how the laws against torture, they're trying to repeal that and allow torture to be legalized again in the wake of this this violent attack that we're all feeling bad about. That's all getting us scared. They're trying to use that to legalize torturing people. It's been like a serious campaign because. Like right now, we're seeing that they're saying it was 90%, like something like 90% approval rating for Bush. I think that's going down now. And the same thing for Giuliani. Like they turned Giuliani into some hero. And I mean, I'm not too old. I'm only 20 years old. But in my lifetime, I've never seen such a combination of right wing attacks mixed with like this propaganda. You know, I think it seems just really unparalleled to me. But and this agenda is not going off clear. It's not going off freely. During this last election, we had Bloomberg got in as a part of that whole the propaganda thing and the right wing attacks coming through. Like Bloomberg, a billionaire, he was elected to government here in the city. And I mean that was a serious loss for our people. But it wasn't a trend. That wasn't a national trend. If we look at just in the city and the city council in this here in New York. I mean, that agenda was really pushed off. There was a lot of trade unionist candidates that were elected. See that, I mean, throughout the state, it was like Staten Island was the only borough that had a Republican elected. And, like, the right, that agenda really flopped. You know, that attack, it really flopped. I think it flopped. And we got to look at that because, I don't know who takes those polls. They haven't asked me, who I like. But it really seemed like during this election that drive was pushed down, and we got to move on that, right? Definitely. I say another thing would be the Charleston Five. I'm happy that a few other people spoke about it today, but that was a huge victory. It was a huge victory because those same people, that same union, that led the fight against the Confederates, you know. A little while before they were attacked at that demonstration, you know, they got the flag down from the state buildings there in South Carolina. That same Union, they won, or we won, against the racist Union busters down there. And it was kind of like the same people, the same enemy both times that were doing it. And we know that. We know that. What happened was when we were talking about the flag thing, it was like, you know, all of it, you know, they led that fight. But it was, you know, people from throughout the country, you know, who were ready to come down there, who were ready to, you know, to support that struggle, who were coming out, demonstrating, hitting the streets, you know, and, you know, a labor organization, NAACP. You know, all these grassroots, you know, groups that before that maybe hadn't been connected to these larger struggles. But we came together and we got the flag down. And then when this thing happened with the, you know, when they were put under, you know, house arrest and, they, you know, they're about to get, these sentences. Those same forces, they came together again. But it was also actions throughout the world. The long swordsmen, the ports that, you know, throughout the world were ready to be shut down for that. And worldwide action against these policies. You know? That's some serious stuff right there. You know, if you think about it, I mean, damn, I'm just imagining if I was about to get fired or I was going to get arrested for, you know, I've had a bunch of bosses out, you know, try to do something, you know, I didn't like them, they messed with me and, you know, I did wrong things. And just, you know, imagine, like, you know, when we take those fights and when we use the labor and we use these organizations that we fought for, you know, historically, through history. You know, that's how far the fight can go. And they took it that way and they won. That's a serious victory. I think we can't forget about that. So, and I think that's, you know, that same coalition that we're talking about, you know, nationally with the labor, the groups like the Black Radical Congress, the, you know, grassroots organizations and, you know, standing in this building, you know, with all these other people. I can't forget about the comrades, you know, because that was, they had a, what is it called? The communist exponent. I won't call it the plus this time. It's the exponent because it's multiply stuff. I mean, all these, you know, our organizations, our left really, you know, I think we led the way, but we did it working with all these groups and getting all our ideas across. If it was as black radicals, if it was communists, the communists, if it was as socialists, if it was as advanced trade unionists, we did it like, you know, conveying our ideas to the people, conveying the people's ideas to the people in a way that we could all understand it, in a way that there was like an immediate path to victory. And, you know, I think that all these experiences, you know, they proved that that's the way to do it. That's the way to win. Well, I was talking to somebody, he already left, but another comrade from the BRC, and he wanted me to say something about David and Goliath, right? You know, about how, you know, we keep on doing this, we can be the David and knock down the Goliath. And I don't know, I haven't read the whole Bible. I didn't even read that story in the Bible. I'm not against religion in my family. Like, my grandmother's very religious, everyone, you know, so I'm not saying anything against religion. But just from what I know about the story, I thought that was like a wrong interpretation of it. Because, I don't know, if we look at it, it seems kind of like we're like an unorganized Goliath, you know? And David, it was like that, you know? And shoot, I don't know. I don't know like the whole story about it, like what, you know, Goliath represented. So I don't know if I would push us into that name or whatever. But just from what I know of it, and I think you all understand what I know of it from what I'm saying, that David is about to get his ass kicked when we start organizing. Okay, so let's do it. All right.
Okay, Esteban Nembhard from the Black Radical Congress. I want to thank you. Before we leave this evening, folks, I'm going to put a couple of pieces on, and as I had made mention, we're going to end this concert with the song for which this is named. So give me one moment to get my banjo. For those under 30, a banjo is a five-string instrument. I have a younger group here today, and that some of the music that was reflected in this really did reflect multi-generational stuff. I've never heard rap with Tabla. It was so great to hear that. And the punk folk that Kirk opens up with, and Amina bringing some R&B and some blues and some soul into, proletariat poetry is amazing to me. And so I'm so pleased with so much has happened here tonight between the speakers and the music. So I want to kind of tie it all up. I'd like to do one of my pieces. This is something that I wrote as a result of September the 11th. I stopped and I thought about how Stephen from the Freedom Socialist Party was just saying to me, the left was just starting to pull together and we've split again, or at least to some degree we've split because of the war. Some people are saying, as many of us have, we need to have some sense of justice to this thing, but we don't want to see innocent people die. And others are saying, look, I don't want to see any kind of aggressive action at all. And I guess there are still others who kind of pulled towards the center or even further towards the right and just said, you know, like the New York Post said, you know, wanted dead or alive, Osama bin Laden. So it's a very difficult time. So this piece of music I wrote about that entire split, and it's just called that. It's September's Divide. Each night I watch the evening news that shapes my mind, feeds on my blues, reports to me with charm and grace the need for pride and tears and faith. The headline screams, the crawl reports while talking heads speak, double talk and graphic flags, red, white, and blue, reach from the side, obscure my view. What guides me through times like these, the city quakes, west to east, no us, no them, and we'll survive, so we call September's Divide. What guides me through times like these, the city quakes, west to east, no us, no them, and we'll survive, so we call September's Divide. Broadway still shines through darkened stage, and black smoke refines the fits of rage, while the protesters call out for peace and march proudly down 14th Street. New York labor speaks union of race. We can't seek blame on the foreigner's face. America first is the everyman cry, but war only calls for workers to die. Guides me through times like these, no city quakes, west to east, no us, no them, and we'll survive, so we call September's Divide. What guides me through times like these, no city quakes, west to east, no us, no them, and we'll survive, so we call September's Divide. The war to end wars led to the next, and the one against reds they called the best. The fight for our rights continues still. So how do we march while refusing to kill? Avenging the debts of friends once here, amending the reign of corporate sneer. Rebuild the skies, our hearts decide. But what's left to fix when the soul divides? What guides me through times like these, no city quakes, west to east, no us, no them, and we'll survive, so we call September's Divide. What guides me through times like these, no city quakes, west to east, no us, no them, and we'll survive, so we call September's Divide. So we call September's Divide. So we call September's Divide. Thank you. Thanks so very much. I think no better way to end a solidarity concert and evening discussion with the song for which it's named. Ralph Chaplin, a member of the Industrial Workers of the World, YWW. Ralph Chaplin was one of the early founders of Industrial Workers of the World, which was an early labor federation that made a huge impact in the early part of the last century and still continues to have a wonderful heritage. These guys continue constantly to push those issues that Ralph Chaplin wrote about. His song became the anthem of the entire labor movement, and that song is Solidarity Forever. Some of you may know this tune as the battle hymn of the Republic. You know, mine eyes have seen the glory of the coming of the Lord. The U.S. government decided to use that as a near national anthem, but they stole it from abolitionists who were fighting the government. They wrote a song after their hero, John Brown, was assassinated by the U.S. government for his actions against slavery. They wrote a song that went, John Brown's body lies moldering in the grave, but his truth is marching on. Naturally, the usurping U.S. government decided to make use of that during the Civil War. Well, at least they used it for the side that we were on, the North side. So this song, the labor movement decided, we're going to claim it back as a protest number, and they called it Solidarity Forever. That's the chorus. The chorus is real simple. Just says, solidarity forever, the union keeps us strong. Solidarity forever, solidarity forever, solidarity forever, the union keeps us strong. When the union's inspiration through the workers' blood shall run, there can be no power greater anywhere beneath the sun. Yet what force on earth is weaker than the feeble strength of one? But the union keeps us strong. All right, here's your part. I need some help. Solidarity forever. Solidarity forever. Solidarity forever. The union keeps us strong. They have taken untold millions that they never toiled to earn. But without our brain and muscle, not a single wheel can turn. We can break their haughty power, gain our freedom when we learn that the union keeps us strong. Solidarity forever. Solidarity forever. Solidarity forever, union keeps us strong. There's lots and lots of verses to this, and here's the nastiest one. Is there aught we have in common with a greedy parasite who would lash us into serfdom and crush us with his might? Is there anything left for us but to organize and fight? The union keeps us strong. Solidarity forever. Solidarity forever. Solidarity forever. The union keeps us strong. Solidarity forever. Solidarity forever. Solidarity forever, the union makes us strong. Thank you so much. Oh, and I also have to make mention of thanks to not only the performers, not only the house, not only the speakers, Don Jacobs doing sound. Let's hear it for Don. And Don's assistant, Juan. Don and Juan, couldn't get better. Thank you, Paul. Thank you all very much for a great evening.
This has been Building Bridges, your community and labor report in exile, hosted by Mimi Rosenberg and Ken Nash. We presented excerpts from the concert, Solidarity Forever, An Evening for International Labor Unity, a benefit for New York City Union's September 11th relief funds. Building Bridges can be heard over at WBAI in Exile, www.wbix.org, on Tuesday evenings from 9 to 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. You can hear archived special programs of Building Bridges on our webpage, www.buildingbridgesradio.org. For Building Bridges, this is Ken Nash with Mimi Rosenberg in solidarity.